Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
All right, so you're an FBI biochemist, and you're kind of like a wild one. You build Rube Goldberg machines in the office. You have like a pearl white hollow body guitar and like neon signs all over your loft. You've got like a hot girlfriend who you accidentally get pregnant, and you get pulled into this crazy mission to stop a bio attack on the city of San Francisco, and it's wild. You have this whole adventure with a crazy new sidekick who, you know, you're combative with. You're screaming in people's face. You do murders. And then after you successfully save the city of San Francisco, you get home and you pick up the newspaper, and the newspaper says, "Mild-mannered biochemist saves city of San Francisco." Mild-mannered? What have you ever done that's mild-mannered? What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
I think you take the L. What do you mean? What do you do?
Yeah, like, is this like a PR thing? Like, you want to hire a strategist?
The way you're living your life and the things you're accomplishing and the manner in which you do it is not mild, and right. You don't deserve this slap in the
face.
Okay,
here's what you do: you rant to your the woman you impregnated.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll say, "You're right, honey. Nothing
she's,
you do
she's
is-
your girlfriend, right?
Like, yeah, but the way it was described earlier, the relationship seems
I mean,
tenuous.
You're too, honestly, you're too wild to have a healthy relationship,
yeah,
it
I don't
seems.
Think you can handle it. But I think she's going to say, of course you're not mild-mannered. If you were mild-mannered, would you have accidentally gotten me pregnant? And you laugh about it, and then you think about it every, you know, so often for the next few years. And that's the end. I mean, what do you do? Like, are you want to do a counter campaign?
Here's what you do.
Oh, go
you
ahead.
You do a bunch of push-ups, so you get a pump kind of going.
Yeah. You're not like the biggest you've ever been at this point, but you're not the chubby version of yourself either.
Mm-hmm. Then you get like really amped up and like, you know, start like punching the air a little bit, get kind of like, you know, just show them that you're not mild.
Well, who's
the
this is what's going to happen. You're going to stomp over to the, what is this? Like the San Francisco Chronicle, something newspaper.
The Examiner.
I forget where you live. You might be a DC boy. I can't remember.
What? Wait, sorry.
You go to San Francisco for the mission.
Right.
This is like
AP
the only
headline?
One for the job.
So whose headline is this?
This is
like
national news. When a bunch of former Marines steal nuclear weapons, or I'm sorry, chemical weapons, and hold the city of San Francisco hostage from Alcatraz, that's That's right, national
news. Who's writing the headline? That's important. If it's AP, you're not changing that thing.
No.
No.
Well, AP doesn't print retractions.
So here's what you have to do. You have to go, like, you need to call a press conference.
There you go. Okay, I like it.
Be really angry during the press conference and like
that is within your wheelhouse. You can do that.
Yeah, just like yell at reporters and
you know what I think you have to do? You have to trigger a sequel.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Where you do the chemical attack on San Francisco?
No, yes, but you orchestrate it so that it happens again.
Yeah.
I think this time the stakes have to be higher. So it has to be like a global chemical attack.
Mm. Well, this one's called Ellis Island, and it's you're holding a Manhattan hostage this time.
Oh, so you right. went and West Coast to East Coast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the Statue of Liberty is hanging her head in shame. Or, no, she's holding her nose.
Oh, this
doing the poster.
Oh,
like a PU. Like that.
No, yeah. Wait, so this is what happens.
Chemical
so
weapons, wow.
One of the like explosions that you orchestrate like kind of breaks the neck of the Statue of Liberty, yeah. So that her head like falls like and the torch that she's holding falls off, and then her head like falls into her hands like, oh geez. And then that picture is the movie poster.
Yes. Yep. And the tagline is, oh geez.
Yeah. And the
not
last
so mild mannered is he.
And most people watching will be like, huh. Didn't know this was a sequel starter.
Here's what I think you really do. I think you find the copy of the newspaper that's in your house, you get some scissors, you cut the M out of mild,
oh,
and you
no,
just
stop.
Flip it upside down.
Wild mannered.
And then you make copies of that and you start passing that out.
Yeah, that's right. Like Xerox them and hand it out like a zine at a punk show.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. What is this from?
This is from the IMDb description of the movie The Rock, which it just really rubbed me the wrong way. Because Nick Cage in The Rock is not his mild-mannered character.
No.
He
honestly
has a mild-mannered character, but this is not it.
When? He is never mild mannered. If he is
raising Arizona,
that's a thin
he's
veneer.
Chill.
That's chill, and it's not mild mannered.
He's a mild mannered. His manners are mild. Oh. His actions are wild.
All right.
Okay.
That's a tagline.
The line. That's the line. His manners are mild. His actions are wild. The Rock coming to theaters.
I would go see that movie.
I mean, that's a great headline too. They should have printed that.
It is,
but
a good
still,
headline.
It would have been inaccurate because his manners are not mild.
Okay, so then it would be like, yeah, there would be an asterisk, and then it would be like, we did it for the rhyme. His manners are not mild.
It wasn't a crime.
Mm-mm. Oh, boy. But I mean, they just took that and really ran with it.
Yeah, really
like the
hit
Kentucky Derby.
A gallop.
Wow.
Guys, look.
Oh, I don't like where this is going.
Well, you should have said something when we chose our topic.
It's October. We're not ready. We're not ready for it to be November, so it's still October. It's still fake October. This time, October, F-O-A-L.
Like a baby horse.
Like a baby horse.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I figured. Okay, right before we recorded this, Colin really offhandedly said what he thought it was. And
Octfoilberg.
Yeah, we were alarmed.
I was excited because I love when we're on different pages.
No,
Colin,
me too.
What did you bring to the table this week?
Well, I thought of great dramatic foils.
Oh my God. You thought that we did Octfober and Octfoilber?
Well, a foe and a foil are technically different things.
Let's hear about it.
So foes
well,
are
hold on,
adversaries.
Though. Hold on, though. Because I just want to point out that we did talk about this not being Octfoilber because
I
used
really
the example
busy,
of it could be a fencing thing.
Oh, that's right. Well, you know what? I think you saying the fencing thing stuck in Colin's head.
Maybe that's it.
Because
I legit don't even remember this anti-fencing thing because my foils also use rapiers.
No. I honestly, okay. So you
so when
thought
Patrick
that
Patrick said it was a bad idea. It just got stuck in Colin's head.
He was like, "This is a good idea." You, I. So did you think that we went from saying like foes, like conversationally, to then like English lit 101, like entry level, like we're going to talk about foils, and it's does not that, what you think, guys.
Does that not track with my group of my closest group of friends?
No, it does.
That
track.
They
no,
would be it, basically a living English lit class.
Okay, so
that's now I feel attacked,
but also seen.
I do feel proud, but also attacked. So, okay, wait. So you. Okay, so what did you choose for Foilber?
I thought two foils one of whom I really, really love, and the other who needs to learn a lesson from his dear cousin are Romeo and Mercutio.
Wait, are you fucking
Montague.
Kidding me? So you were not joking when you said an English lit class?
I'm dead fucking serious. I chose
Romeo and Mercutio?
Yes.
Okay, like, are
Romeo's
we...
Romeo's part of an OTP, though.
Wait, hold
well,
on.
No, also
I'm sorry,
cousins.
Wait,
cousins.
Pause.
They're cousins. Pause, pause, pause,
pause, pause, pause. Yeah. Patrick, controversial, yes. Controversial.
OTP, Romeo.
That is bold.
It is an anti-ship. It is a no TP.
Yeah,
no.
They both die.
Yeah.
Like, just due to, like, bad timing.
Well, and bad planning, I would say.
Yeah.
Nothing they set out to do with that fucking priest was good news.
No, no, no.
That's on him, though. That's on the fucking priest.
Well, it's also on their parents. It's on all the adults. That's the point. They're
Mercutio
like the
was the only
line.
One who knew what he was talking about.
Yeah,
he was
Mercutio's
like, hey, man.
The best.
I feel like
you got to convince me that Romeo deserves Mercutio. I want to hear how you feel about him.
Well, that's the thing about family. You don't have to deserve them to have them. Now, and maybe if he appreciated dear sweet Mercutio a little better and listened to him when he said, like, hey, there's fun trouble and there's bad trouble, and you're looking for bad trouble right now, Mercutio would still be alive. Maybe Romeo would still be alive, and Juliet even. They have completely different, they're two characters with different perspectives, which makes them foils.
You're right. Like, I like, you get an A.
You get an A.
It just wasn't the assignment.
It just wasn't, no.
You just did a different assignment, but like, you did this, the thing you thought you were supposed to do. Really well. Yeah,
I also agree with you that like, you know how like, I feel like Romeo is that, like, if it were modern times, mm-hmm. would
like
be
if
doing
it were 1990s Venice Beach.
Sure, sure.
Just a random example.
Just a random
but, like,
example.
If it were, you know, like, if it were nowadays, I feel like Romeo would be the type of guy that would do a lot of social posts that you're like, man, Romeo, if you just had one friend that was like, don't post this. In the same way that he's like, this is a great idea. I'm going to, or what is it? Like, oh, wait, he's not in on it, right? Because he doesn't know that Juliet's faking her death.
He left and let Juliet think that he left.
So that's the other thing. I just feel like if you're doing a super secret plan in which you're pretending to either run away or die, mm-hmm. you need to tell the other person
specifically. And had Mercutio lived to that point, he might have suggested that.
I think he might have been like, yo, why don't you guys just...
Or I'll run over to the Capulets real quick.
Yeah.
And I'll, like, slip a note in under her door.
Yeah, he would have really gotten it done. Here's the thing with me with Romeo is every time you start... Because you know how, like, you know, every 6 months or so you reread Shakespeare's most important works?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
for the show.
The whole book, cover to cover.
Yeah,
I just don't see. I just don't see works. Why you guys have conditioned me to for this moment.
We set you up and we knocked you down, dude.
But like, it starts, and I know it's a detail, but I get hung up on it. It starts out with Romeo talking about how much he's in love with some other chick named Rosalind.
Yeah.
Like that's so everything he does with Juliet, he could have done 3 weeks ago with Rosalind. I don't believe him.
He probably shot his shot with Rosalind. Or he was he was lining up to, and then he met Juliet and just fucking forgot.
But even so, I guess that's why they're not an OTP, because I feel like if they had survived, he would have gotten over it.
Yep.
Within another 2 weeks.
And then he would have been singing his songs about, I don't know, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone else.
Yeah. Or the nurse. Now that's a ship.
Now
wait,
that's
Romeo
a
and
ship.
The nurse?
Patrick's like, don't take them apart.
Look, they're in love, okay?
And the nurse? Ugh. Disgusting. She's a servant.
And ancient. She must be 30 years old.
That is twice as old as Juliet.
That's true. That is true.
Oh, Lord.
No, that was a really good one.
Thanks,
that's
guys.
Good, man.
Also, at some point, they ride a horse together. I don't know.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah,
sure.
There we go.
Hey, Kelly, do you have a full?
Foal, like a baby horse.
I've never heard that word. Do you have a foal ship?
You've never heard of foals?
No, I've heard colt.
Oh.
That's a baby horse, right?
That is also a baby horse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's before they become a colt. Like when
I think colt
just
is like,
born, like newborn baby foal.
Oh, okay.
I think.
That's so specific. Okay, let's hear some ships,
okay,
you fucking lunatics.
That sounds like foe. That was foe.
That's the whole
foal
thing.
A foal-ber.
I was like, what things have horses in them? And I was kind of like getting stuck because I didn't want to cover something that I suspected might be covered. But I wasn't sure because, as we know, Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken is very close to all of our hearts.
Yes. Of course.
So I didn't mention it. I was like, I'll not do that one. And then I was like, what has horses in it? I was like, I couldn't really come up with something that I liked. So then I was like, well, what about centaurs?
Ooh.
Here we go.
So then I was like, well, Harry Potter has centaurs. And then I was like, but I don't really ship any of the centaurs with anyone in Harry Potter. So I thought I'd revisit a ship that I enjoy.
Okay.
So Lucius is, he likes to do rich person stuff, you know? So he and Dobby, their relationship is like kind of fledgling. It's like a little bit of the beginning of it. And they've started a little bit with their power play with Dobby being the Dom.
Right.
But it's mostly consisted of like edging underneath the table. So
you're about to bring horses into this.
Well, horse play.
Horse men. Yeah.
Oh,
horse play. No,
oh
so the centaurs are not involved. The centaurs are an inspiration.
Oh, great.
So Dobby is like with Lucius, and Lucius is like, master, let's go to the forest to watch the centaurs. And Dobby's like, okay. And they are watching them, and then they get really inspired, and they just get really like agitated and like hot and bothered.
Oh my God.
And Dobby's like, me has an idea.
He's Jar Jar Binks now?
That's part of the role play.
Yeah, that's part of the role play is that he's RPing Jar Jar Binks. And he's like,
it's layered. It's like a sexual onion.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he's like, how does Dobby talk?
I think he talks in third person.
Oh, Dobby. Yeah. So he's like, Dobby wants to be a centaur. And Lucius is like, how could that be possible?
Oh, no.
So.
Oh, forbidden forest indeed.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I had an idea before, but then as I talked about it right now with you guys, so I'm saying that you guys are cursing this because it's changed. So at first in my head is that Dobby was just riding around Lucius like a horsey. But I think that Dobby wants to be like a centaur. So Lucius has to crawl around on all fours with his head up.
Oh my God.
And then Dobby.
Wait, so he's like crab walking?
Like a piggyback ride?
No,
he's
like
horse walking.
Like a horsey, like a doggy.
Okay.
So
but
hands
you know
and knees.
How centaurs, Patrick, you're not there yet. Centaurs are half and half.
No, I get that, but if he's like crab walking, that means his like head and mouth can be like pointed down. Dobby can be like riding his neck.
No, don't worry. Okay. It's hands and knees.
Okay.
Like when you're like pretending to be a dog when you're a kid. But his head is straight up. Mm-hmm. And then
straight up what?
Yeah, Dobby's corn dogging his head.
I'm sorry.
And they are together.
That's horrific.
OTP.
So
the sexual exploration of these two.
It's true. I'm going to tell you, it started out with Dobby just riding him like a horse, but I don't know. I guess I just got more creative talking to you guys.
Why didn't you just talk about Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken?
Oh my god!
I gotta
remember
know.
Remember when Kelly was texting us earlier, and she's like, "Hey, I think mm-hmm. my ship might be cursed." No, you know what? It's actually kind of sweet.
Thank you. Yeah, it is. No, that's not the one I was talking about.
Oh, that was a different. This isn't the kind of sweet one.
No.
I gotta know. Is there like something magical happening there, or is Dobby just really loose?
Oh, there's
he's
something
like
magical
Hermione's
happening.
Bag.
Okay.
Where he can hold a lot more.
It's like Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like,
wow.
But to the outside, it does look like Lucius is wearing some kind of mask.
So what?
What does Lucius see?
Yeah. Is it like the room of requirement inside Dobby?
Yeah. So he just sees you see your wildest dreams.
Oh, okay.
So Lucius just sees like,
having his head stuck upside Dobby.
Yeah, it's just like infinite, like when you put a mirror against a mirror.
Oh. So Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken is about horse jumper.
Well, thanks, Kelly.
Uh-huh, you're welcome.
That's nightmare fuel. Patrick, what did you have?
Oh, I'm sorry to bring us. I'm gonna bring us to like the relationship between a human and a horse. So I'm sorry.
Oh man,
I'm sorry. I took this one and was just like did a straightforward like actual relationship that I like between Link, the hero of the Legend of Zelda series, and Epona, the horse. Specifically in Ocarina of Time, mm-hmm. Because you meet that horse as you are a child, right? Like the game takes place in two time periods, one when Link is a child and another like 7 years later when he's an adult. And when you originally meet the horse, you're on Lon Lon Ranch, you're having a great time, everything is like cute and fun, and there are like not no consequences to anything, but it's a very like sort of like innocent relationship. You learn a song, you play the music, and the horse like likes you and is friendly and like everything's chill like that. But then when you come back 7 years later and you're an adult, everything has been fucked like across the course of Hyrule. And Lon Lon Ranch has not been spared this fuckery, which means that the horse needs to be rescued. You need to like pay the dude his name is Ingo and he's a fucker and I hate him. part of what he's done is like made Epona's life shitty and he's taken over the ranch. And so he's like, hey, if you like that horse, you can race me on her. And like, he charges you money for it. And like, it's just a dick. And you can, during that race, just jump away and steal the horse. And then she's yours. Then the horse is just yours forever. And then like, aww. Link and Epona just like get to ride around the fields of Hyrule being awesome and heroic together.
I like that.
That's cute.
That's very nice.
That's a palate cleanser for sure.
It is really good.
That's cute.
Yeah, I like it.
I also like you rescuing the horse. Like, that's really cute.
It's just, and it's such a, like, the game does a good job overall of being like, you know, the world of Child Link is, you know, way more innocent, or at least it appears that way. And then when you get to, like, the adult world, that, like, things are more complicated, things are harder, people are suffering. And, you know, whether that's the world has actually changed or like your perspective on it has changed. That's also true of like your relationship with the horse. Like
That's cool.
At first, all you need to do is just be there and like just sing songs with the horse, and it's fun. And then like you go back and it's like, no, you got to be there for each other, and you got to like work together and like make things better.
Aww.
That's really cute.
That's really cute.
Thanks. Ryan, did you have a horse ship?
Yeah, I thought mine was going to be weird. but it turns out I'm safe. So when I think of foals, I think of horse racing. And when I think of horse racing, I think of the episode of Law and Order Criminal Intent where they're breeding horses. And I think the horse is like, first a horse dies, then a person gets murdered, then it becomes clear that both like this evil, well, she's not evil, but she has dreams. The villain has been essentially studying her husband at the same time that she's been studying the horse.
Hello.
I think it's called,
what?
Like, she's been like playing with her husband's, I guess not birth control, but like playing with his pills to make it so that he's very virile, and then sending, and then pretending like she doesn't know that he's having an affair with this rich lady. So she has this whole plan to like stud her husband, but she's Whoa. Also like a horse person. Anyway, I'm just using this as a way to talk about Detective Eames and Detective Gorin from Criminal Intent. I've been doing a rewatch because it's on Peacock. I love them. It's very like a Sherlock Holmes Watson dynamic, except like really underlines the respect that they have for each other.
Cool.
And you can tell it's like the performers have a lot of like respect for each other too. And Vincent D'Onofrio, as one might know, is like a bit, he's a lot as a performer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the two of them work well together because they give each other space to perform, but also like she becomes even more subtle with her acting
cool.
because he's so big, but it does, but it's still like really real and they're still in the moment together. And yeah, I ship it. I hope that, you know, they kind of faint toward at the very end of the series that like he's going into therapy because he needed it. He has had some issues. And like it becomes clear in therapy, like his therapist is like, what is the constant in your life? Like, we all need things. And he essentially realizes that Eames is his constant, and they don't like kiss or anything. But you just get this feeling like these people are going to be in their lives forever, whether they're Aww. Investigating murders or not.
I like so that.
That's really very cute. Nice.
So that's my horse, my octfoal-bur take.
I like that. You make me want to rewatch that show.
Oh, girl, do it. Peacock, get on it. All the eps are there. You know, it's not a show with a lot of arcs. Though what's weird is there's this character named Nicole Wallace, who is like evil, who's like essentially the Moriarty of Criminal Intent, and then there's like a woman named Nicole Wallace who is on MSNBC. So this whole week, spoiler alert, I've been watching a lot of MSNBC lately, but this whole week it's been like, oh, Nicole Wallace, just like the evil lady.
Oh my god!
I don't think she secretly is like murdering people and pretending to be Australian and stuff.
Oh my god, pretending to be Australian.
I don't think.
You never know.
You never know. Hey, Colin, do we have any questions from Twitter?
We sure do. If you would like to have your questions read and answered on this podcast, you can hit us up on Twitter at ShippleDips. That's Shipple like nipple and dips like nips. Or at our email, ShippleDipsShow@gmail.com. This one comes from Jessica. Hi, ShippleDips. Longtime listener, first time caller. How about your favorite Canadian ships? We know how everyone feels about Scott Pilgrim, but what about Letterkenny, Schitt's Creek, or Heartland? Are you familiar with eerie shippiness, with the eerie shippleness, that's a weird fake word, but I love it, of Corner Gas, the strange step-sibling UST of Life with Derek? Love the podcast from Southwestern Ontario, Jessica.
I'm very familiar with Life with Derek.
Okay.
Are you guys familiar with it?
No, I've never heard.
What's
no.
Life
okay,
with Derek?
I believe it was on Disney Channel, but it could have been Nickelodeon. But it's essentially like very like Even Stevens-ish kind of, I'll give it that milieu, except it's step-siblings. So it's two teenage step-siblings. And the actors have real palpable chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very weird to watch. And you do ship it. You naturally ship it, but they're still step siblings. Like, the show can never have that. It's because it's not a drama. It's like a, and you know what? It's more like than Even Stevens. Did you guys ever watch, what was that one where it was like Josh and other, Drake and Josh?
Oh, okay. So the it was Sweet like that. Life. No, that's Zach
no,
and Cody.
No, that's Zach and Cody. Drake and Josh. But the point, Josh and Drake? Is that what that show is called?
Drake and Josh.
Drake and Josh. Okay.
Drake and Josh.
Okay. Anyway, my point is it's like a sitcom about teens, but it's obviously aimed at younger people.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It never
yeah.
is trying to take teen stuff seriously. So like they might have a boyfriend or girlfriend or something, but it's like, they, you know, sex doesn't exist. Like drugs don't exist.
It's not Riverdale. Sure.
Yes, right, it's not right. Riverdale. If it was a teen soap, these two would have been banging. But instead, they sort of just like flirt, but also are becoming closer as siblings. And it's like this very weird. So like, it is unresolved sexual tension.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to know. When you watch it, you never know if it's intentional or if it's just like...
If it's just the actors are so... they can't even contain it.
I think that might have been what it was. Because the scenes were like, if two people who felt platonically about each other were doing the scene, it could just be a platonic scene.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like...
I mean, you know. I think the only true way to know if it is a real spark between them is we got to go to YouTube and check out the manips.
Oh, there's some. Oh, I bet manips. There's some amazing. Honestly, just watch straight scenes from it. You will think that they're manips.
No manip necessary.
No manip necessary. Okay, and then sorry, not to monopolize this question.
Please.
But you've been watching a lot of Degrassi, right?
I've also been watching. I wasn't even going to talk about Degrassi, but Degrassi is like the ships for days. And it's all great stuff. Yeah, I paused in my watch. I think I'm only going to watch up to the shooting, the school shooting.
Oh.
Because after that, all these kids change irrevocably, both because of the trauma and also the show just gets juicy, like saucier. So like you start the show with this like seventh grader. I mean, they're all seventh and eighth graders, but you start this show with Emma and like eventually she's giving blowies for bracelets. And by the time she's giving blowies for bracelets, it's like, I can't do this any. Like, I can't watch this girl get blowies for bracelets.
So hold on, though. You're going to watch through the school shooting and then stop?
Yeah,
that's the series finale for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think I'll get to like, well, really, I'm going to watch until Sean, who is Emma's love interest in my on and off and on. He eventually moves back to Wasega, which is like a beach town, because... he is like, okay, so back in the day before Degrassi started, so before he was a seventh grader, he got in a fight with a guy and deafened him.
What?
Yeah, it was really bad. So because of that, he moved to Degrassi. Then he's at Degrassi. He was a good kid. He tried to be a good kid. He wore a jean jacket for a long time. Then he started wearing a wife beater. That was bad. That was when things turned for him. Then he's wearing a wife beater and a beanie. It was tough.
Uh-oh.
Then
this is fucking Kevin Federline's origin story.
Yeah,
essentially, you should really watch Degrassi.
I really want to watch it.
Then, so he has an arc, and then he is ultimately the one he tackles the shooter, and when they're like to get when they're in this like it's more of like a clinch, but like when he grabs the shooter, the gun ends up shooting the shooter in the stomach. So he doesn't kill him, but he
feels responsible.
Yes, and he kind of causes the guy to die. But everyone's treating him like a hero, but he has all this guilt from this guy that he hurt when he was a kid. So he ends up going home to face his guilt and to, whatever, deal with it, as well as, you know, not have to be the guy who stopped the school shooter at Degrassi. So I'll watch probably to that episode.
Very good.
There you go.
Because I don't feel like an arc. But no, Edgemont is the one. So if you like Degrassi and you want to get deep on Canadian shows, Edgemont was a... like essentially like a Degrassi or a Dawson's Creek that I really, really liked. It had Kristen Crook, who eventually played Lana on Smallville. So it's like the thing I can watch her in, not have to watch any, you know, abusers.
Yep.
But it's really, but yeah, so Edgemont would be my call out. And probably Ships, I really liked, they were kind of the main couple, but Mark and Jen from that. But like, I would like any Ships that showed up on Edgemont. So those are my Canadian two cents. Sorry for dominating, guys.
No, that's excellent.
Excellent.
Yeah, because I feel like I would have to cheat for this one because I don't really know Canadian shows a lot, but like the Wolverine, Jean Grey, Cyclops, mm-hmm. like three-way relationship is one of my favorites.
Yeah,
it is very Canadian.
I mean,
partially.
Well, yeah.
One of them.
Wolverine is so Canadian.
Yeah, he's extremely mm-hmm. Canadian.
Jean Grey's got some Canadian vibes.
Yeah.
She feels I mean, she could have grown up in Toronto.
For me, shout out to Patrick and David from Schitt's Creek. I like them together a lot.
They're so cute.
Yeah. Yep, they're amazing. I would say mine has got to come from the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode, The Tale of the Night Shift. Do you guys remember mm-hmm. that one? That was the one the vampire is loose in the hospital.
Oh.
Wait, hold on. Just what was Are You Afraid of the Dark a Canadian show? And I'm only discovering this now.
That, Patrick, I'm about to blow your mind. Pretty much all Nickelodeon live action shows from the 1990s were shot in Canada.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We're also going to have to probably say Mulder and Scully because that shit was Vancouver to the nines.
Well, what about this, episode?
Oh, okay. There's a candy striper named Margaret, and I can't remember. I think he was a nurse, or he was like visiting a patient, or he was a patient. His name was Colin, and they're in the hospital overnight together, and a fucking really scary vampire shows up and is like drinking all the blood supply, like all the blood bags, and that's how they discover it. But there is this scene I remember just like being very scared but also very intrigued as a child by their energy when they like go into the supply closet to sort of like get away and figure out what's going on. And that's when they discover all the punctured blood bags and start to think Ooh. Vampires might be afoot. But just the two of them like hiding in the closet together. Nice. I remember, I don't know, maybe that was a moment for a 10-year-old Colin.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Were you identifying with the Colin on screen?
Could be. Could be. It might Ooh. Have sucked me right into the story.
Yeah.
Kelly, do you have any other Canadian?
Oh, just the Schitt's Creek ones.
Yeah. I have watched Letterkenny. I don't find it very, like, it's enjoyable as a show, but I don't think I care enough about any of those characters.
To ship them?
Yeah. Like, it to care about their personal lives. I just want them to do stuff that's funny.
I remember I used to watch it when it was just a YouTube series and there were like little bite-sized episodes.
Right.
Oh, you know what? The Kids in the Hall
have
a ton of like, I mean, they're probably all anti-ships, but like that goddamn chicken lady. I just want her to get with everyone that she wants to get with and just fuck whatever because she's so horny for everything.
She is very yeah. horny. I don't think she'd be a very like giving lover.
No.
You know who I ship from Kids in the Hall?
Who's that?
Okay, wife of Salty Ham guy mm-hmm. with her friend that she's always on the phone with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got to run away from that terrible husband and be with her friend.
Love
yeah,
it.
I feel like there's a lot of friendships that are stronger than romantic ships in Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
Like the are they Lindas? Who are the two secretaries with the same name?
I don't remember.
Do you know these characters?
I'm picturing them, but I could just be picturing Dave Foley in drag.
Yeah.
That applies like, to so much of the show.
I also may be picturing Linda Richmond. coffee yeah. talk.
Linda Richmond. Oh my God.
Does that count as a Canadian? I mean, it's not a ship, but.
She's
it's a Canadian. Individual, is that what you're...
Yep, it's a Canadian man.
You know what,
love
honestly,
it.
I know it's set in San Francisco, but So I Married an Axe Murderer feels very Canadian.
Yeah.
The movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that movie is shippable all day.
Top to bottom, side to side.
That's right. I love it. I ship his, what is it, is his best friend, who's the detective, and yes. Alan Arkin. His police chief. I ship those two. I love them so much. He's trying to make his life into a fucking action movie, so he's like begging his boss to be meaner to him about the case. It's so good.
I don't know how we're gonna end this.
It's funny. Right before we started recording, I said sometimes we miss the edit, and I think I jinxed us.
Well, like, where would the edit have been?
I think the edit was literally like, I will not appear
Dobby
to you
in the
today.
Head. Well, I'm sorry.
I said, I think the edit was like, I am not going to appear to you today.
Yeah, the edit was like, fuck off, Bogey. How dare you say that I don't present myself?
How do you like me now? I'm gone, bitch.
Hey, guys.
Two relationships.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.